starting at verse 1. Sing to the Lord his wonder, the new song above earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Lord, we do. We bless your name this morning. The name that's above every other name. Lord, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Lord is written over our hearts, Lord, that you have made us, Lord, your children and your people. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that as we enter into this time of worship, that our hearts would connect with you, Lord, in a supernatural way. Lord, your word says that the Father desires, though, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, let our spirits today worship you wholly, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be attentive. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted with the cares of this life and with multimedia and all the things that can take our focus away from you. Help us, Jesus, to stay centered on you. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that you have preordained for us to be here today, Lord, and you have designed, Lord, this day here at One Life, Lord, for us, Lord, to receive what we need from you, Lord, to become more like you. So, Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that as it is in heaven right now, your desires, your design, Lord, the plans and purposes that you have had for this service today in your heart, Lord, that it would be fulfilled here in our midst. So as it is in heaven, let it here be here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now the songs that I chose for today are very intimate. So I just encourage each one of you to just close your eyes today and just focus on him. That's what we're here for in the first place, is just to focus on him, deepen our relationship with him, our knowledge on him. And I think that starts right here in worship. So I just encourage you, don't worry about those around you. If you have to move, move. But just posture your hearts towards him today. And as you sing, sing to him.
I'm in love. Save me, you save me. Thank you.
Thought he was like self-serving when he would say that I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. That's like a radical statement. I wonder if he ever said that around the other disciples. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. But there's something about that truth of knowing the complete love of God that says it removes all fear. Eradicates all doubt. There were 12 disciples with Jesus. One hung himself. The other 10 were scrambling, trying to keep from being the next one in line to Jesus, being however they were thinking they were going to be persecuted. But one of the disciples, just one, was with the other three Marys in front of Jesus when he was being crucified. He had no fear. His doubts were swallowed up in God's love. And Jesus says to John, John, behold your mother, to his mother Mary. And Mary, behold your son. He was commissioned that moment to take care of the mother of Jesus. Something about God's love being in us, that we get God's perspective, We get God's point of view, how he sees things. Now, I didn't know this years ago. I thought I had to work to maintain my good graces with God. I had to read the Bible enough. I had to pray enough. I had to go to church enough. I had to be a good leader. I had to help people, you know, find Jesus. I had all these lists of things that I had to do to maintain my graces with God. And what it boiled down to is that I had to do all those things that I thought to receive his love. And so the Lord dealt with me, and to solve this problem, I started going around the house singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." Little simple children's song. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Those songs I started singing in my heart. And then I did this radical thing. I started walking around saying, "I am the pastor that Jesus loves." As I started catching these truths in my heart, the need to do all the other stuff was like sidelined. Not that I didn't do them, but I didn't do them to receive his love. That radical line, "When heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves." I think if the body of Christ could just understand that we're loved, always, 100% of the time, not when we're good, not when we're bad, making any difference to it. We're always loved. So what I'd like Cain first to do is say, "He loves me. Oh, how he loves me." We've sang that before, but I wanted to preface with this idea that get that thought in your heart that he loves you. He doesn't love you because you're a good Christian. He doesn't love you because you read your Bible. He loves you because you're his. You're his, and that's enough to love you. Go ahead, Kate.
So I grew up in Sunday school. in a very First Baptist church. And the song that they had us sing every Sunday in Sunday school was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Those little children are not just the littles. They're us. We are his little children. And he is our strength. And he loves us beyond all measure.
Thank you, Lord. We'll share the love of God with someone right now. Amen. Thank you, team.
All right, good morning, you guys. If you guys would stand with me, if you're not already standing, we're going to do the declaration over our city. Continue to believe good things for the Yakima Valley. So let's say this on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, that you love the Yakima Valley. We pray, God, you would continue to bless our city, bless our valley, bless every single person in it. God, we just pray, Lord, that your will would be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. We thank you, Jesus, for just how you've placed us here, God, the call that you have for each and every one of us, God, to be a light in our city. And I just pray, God, that we would do that well and with excellence. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. We don't really have much of announcements. So house prayer is the only other thing. And it would have been this upcoming weekend, but it is 4th of July weekend. So our next house prayer will be the 11th, July 11th. And TBD on the house, and Pastor Mike will send out that information as it comes. And then thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to the house of God. You guys know the drill. You give here, in the back, or online. And then last but not least, children, can I have you guys come up? And we are going to pray for our children. All right. So, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We pray, God, over these little children, God, that you would be with them, God, as they go downstairs and learn about you and get closer to you. Pray, God, you would continue to just bless them, Lord. Bless our children's ministry and all that you're doing. Pray, God, that you would be with them, Lord. Be with the ones leading downstairs. And just pray, God, that your will would be done down there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So just a reminder again, the beginning of the year during our 21-day fast, the Lord really put it, you have it there, yeah. Lord put it on my heart to have house prayer during that 21 days. And it was an amazing time. Different people hosted and individuals came, and it was a special time, a time that I really felt I was kind of renewing my roots for prayer. And the Lord, I think it was the last Sunday before, the Lord really put on my heart this scripture in Isaiah 56:7, that we are to be a house of prayer for all nations. It's what was communicated by Jesus when he was cleaning out the temple, and that is still what has been on my heart all year. I mean, it's been almost going on 6 months now. And I believe that it's not just, you know, a fad that we're to go through, but it's a transformation that we're to allow to happen to our hearts. And so today, getting back to the Power of Prayer series, there's been quite a few ones. Today's called The Waiting Game. Reminder that the acronym that the Lord really kind of helped me establish, and it kind of really communicates the true meaning of prayer to me, is Purposeful Requests Aligning Your Eternal Reality. And this is best really illustrated with Jesus in the garden when he was praying and asking the Father to take this cup from him if it was possible. And we know that the cup being taken from Jesus, him going to the cross, wasn't possible for us to be saved, for us to be reestablished in right relationship with God. And so his eternal reality of who he was, the Son of God, and with the destiny of hanging on the cross for you and I, came into fruition during that time in the garden. His purposeful request aligned with him, who he was created to be. And I believe that's what prayer is really meant to do. Prayer is not just for us to just, you know, have God do things our way, but it's for us also to align, as we'll see with one of the scriptures in here, what the will of God is. And in those kind of prayers, the prayers are easy and they're easily answered. So the waiting game. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to the Department of Licensing, but it is it's like a game you play when you go in there. Everybody's shaking their head. Their reputation has preceded them. I can tell. What ends up happening is they either tell you on the phone that you don't need an appointment, or that sometimes you do need an appointment, or you have to go online to get an appointment. You go online, it says, well, you have to be there. It's like, you know, this game that you play to try to figure out what you need to do to be, you know, service there. So there's times that I've gone down there without an appointment, and they tell me I've got to come back with an appointment to get an appointment. And even with an appointment, I take a number, and then numbers that are bigger than mine, I mean, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 12 is being taken. And it's like, well, I'm 5. Why is 12 being taken? So it's like a waiting game that you have to do in there. And, you know, patience is, as we've communicated, is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and we have patience. But it gets tried at the Department of Licensing. There's other places where, you know, patience and the idea of waiting can kind of brew up. And I'm going to actually give a testimony of a waiting process that I went through. And I'll let you know the results when I share the testimony. But today I want to talk about Daniel. Daniel was a very, very interesting individual. He was one of the individuals who were exiled from Israel, from Jerusalem, and they were basically taken into the Babylonian area, and he and three others of his I guess you would call them brothers ended up being in King Nebuchadnezzar's court, and he ended up, you know, giving the communication of what the actual answer to his dream was, when he was going to have all the wise men killed, and Daniel had the answer, and Daniel ends up being the one who gives King Nebuchadnezzar the communication, what it meant when he was going to be in probably for 7 years chained up to the outside, couldn't, and he was like an animal, grew long nails, and finally realized that God was the God of heavens and the true God. But what ended up happening is, after Nebuchadnezzar dies, his son dies, and King Cyrus of Persia becomes the king. Daniel kind of just goes into like a quiet mode, it seems like, for a while. And this is after, of course, he's gone to the lion's den. If you guys haven't heard that story, encourage you to read it. Daniel stayed true to the Lord, and he prayed when there was a declaration that anyone praying to any other god other than this king, I think it was King, I want to sing King Darius. Does that sound right? King Darius. And King Darius was tricked into this. And so Daniel ended up going in with probably a den of at least 12 lions who were very hungry. And he ended up, being delivered. And that's, I believe, because of his faithfulness. So now towards the end of this book of Daniel, we start seeing him interacting with promises of God, visions of God. And in chapter 9, we see in verse 20, he says, I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. So in chapter 9, we see that once Daniel is starting this request, the answer was being sent. The answer came in the form of Gabriel. And how many know that Gabriel was the one who actually came to Mary? So he was in good company with Gabriel. So what ends up happening here is that this is an immediate answer to prayer. And how many like immediate answers to prayer? Yeah. Especially in this microwave world we're in, right? I was sharing on Gay's YouTube channel today, Facebook channel, Facebook, that, the idea of having food cooked the fastest and the best is something I always look for. I don't know if any of you have an air fryer. Those things are amazing. We use our air fryer regularly. I'll do grilled cheese sandwiches in them. Highly recommend a grilled cheese sandwich in the air fryer. That's beside the point. The point being is that we like to have things done quickly, and we like to see it be quality food. So we're going to now turn to Daniel chapter 10. Now this is a different vision, but this is the first verse basically just is communicating that that during the time of King Cyrus, Daniel is being like stirred up about a vision. And he says, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. Has any of you ever heard like the Daniel fast? This is really kind of the true idea of the Daniel fast. No rich food, no meat. No meat and no wine. And the fragrant lotions was keeping himself fresh. It wasn't like, today when you have a shower, you can just jump in. They needed help. So he was probably in a state where he was just, living his life and seeking God and perspiring and all of that, and wasn't really taking care of it. He's just seeking God. And it was a mourning for him. Now it says on April 23rd. Now I don't know how the New Living Translation knows it was exactly April 23rd. It must be based on a Jewish ceremony. But that's pretty good. When I saw it, April 23rd, okay. He looked at his watch and it was April 23rd with the sap. I'm kidding, of course, yeah. And as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing. With a belt of pure gold around his waist, his body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and his feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. I'm telling you, if you read Revelation chapter 1, this is almost the exact same description of the individual that John saw. There's some attributes to this individual that some would say, well, it's not Jesus, but whoever it was had the likeness of the Son of God. So this event takes place where he sees this vision of a pretty awesome looking individual. He says, only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see the amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. So when this individual spoke, it literally caused him to even just fall to the ground with his face. This is a pretty terrifying moment for someone that's interacted with God, seen Gabriel quite a bit. This is something that he has not seen before. Just then a hand touched me, lifted me up, still trembling, to my hands and knees. So this individual is picking him up, and he's coming to his hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid. Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. So very much like in chapter 9, the very minute Daniel started to pray, heaven's hearing what's going on. Oh, that someone's calling out. Someone's seeking God. Someone is looking for answers. And so it says here, and I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. So here we have Daniel in one chapter. I don't know how far a time difference this was from chapter 9 to chapter 10. It could have been years. We know that King Darius was king sometime around probably chapter 6, 7, and 8, and now King Cyrus is king. So this could have been many years, but this is Daniel seeking the Lord for an answer. Have you ever sought the Lord for an answer? A question? You want to know something? Say, Lord, what is this? And you expect, you know, to hear from him so that your life can receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you're looking for. And yet for 21 days, he didn't get an answer. And why? Because there was a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies. There was something that was taking place that was that Daniel was unable to recognize or unable to see. And so I'm not telling you that every single time you pray, it's going to take 21 days. But I do want to let you know that our prayers, I believe, and when it says that we're precious, he was precious to God, I believe we're precious to God. I believe we're his children. I believe that he wants the very best for us. I believe that when we're praying according to his will, he does hear us, as we'll see in the scriptures. And so what's taking place here is the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places is fighting the good. It's fighting God's plan. And 21 days later, he receives the answer. So with that story in mind, I want to focus now a little bit on this idea of waiting and the idea of waiting patiently. As it says in Psalm 40, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Sometimes we need to be patient in our waiting, and we need to be expectant in our waiting. We need to let our hearts be fixed, no matter how long it takes, on the answer. I know that many of us have had children that have, for whatever reason, strayed from the ways of God. They've, you know, gone on their own path. They're not necessarily serving the Lord. Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love them and they don't love God, but they're definitely not in a way that we would say that they're serving the Lord and that they're in the right, I guess, place that God would want them to be. And we pray for them. And we continue to pray even though we don't see answers. Anyone else relate to this? You know, you want to see the Lord move in their life. You want to see him do something that is going to be significant to the place where they're back, so to speak, in the fold. They're back in the safety of the sheepfold, you know, where the good shepherd is taking care of them. And we pray and we pray and we need to wait patiently for the answer. And some of us, you know, are still waiting for the full answer. We see little glimpses. We see that God's working in their life. We hear like testimonies. I say the other day, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the Lord and, you know, how he's, you know, he's been with me and carried me and led me, but they're still not where we think they should be. Now, maybe that's just our perspective. Maybe they're better off with God in God than we can tell. But waiting patiently and with expectancy is a necessity. Waiting patiently with expectancy is a necessity. Why? Because with the patience and the expectance, I believe that we keep our focus on God being the answer and not worrying about how long it takes. It says here to wait is the Hebrew word kava. Kava. Say it all with me. Kava. Now you know what it means, wait. It's a primitive root word that means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. That is to collect or figuratively, to expect or gather together, to look patiently, tarry, or wait for, on, or upon. Actually, when it says in here in 40, verse 1, it says, Tava, right? Is that what Tava? I Tava, Tava. He uses the word twice with a little bit of different influence, but it's the same Hebrew word. I waited and waited and expectantly for the Lord. And so I waited patiently in his patience, in his waiting, that very word wait became his patience. And so it is a word that we see used in many times that we communicate this in the scriptures. One of them is in Psalms 27, 13 through 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love that. I remain confident in or of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is he saying? I'm going to see God's goodness while I'm alive, not just when I die. That's a good expectancy to have. I am going to see God's goodness. Now, it may not come as we expect it, but I'm telling you, God's goodness is all around us all the time. If we would just open up our eyes. Some would say, well, all I had today, you know, of God's goodness was just, you know, some food on my table. That's God's goodness. Because there's places in the world where they didn't have food on their table. There's places in the world where their life is being threatened right now as we speak. For being Christians, for seeking after God, for receiving Christ in their lives are being threatened. I don't know what the statistic is, but there's someone I know that dies within minutes at being a martyr for Christ every day. We don't tend to think that way in the United States. Why? Because everything seems good all the time, doesn't it? Our lives are taken care of by his goodness. But I would say if you got that person aside whose life was going to be threatened to the place of death, that day, they would say, God is good. And they'd be ready to lay down their life for him. Because they realize they've seen and are going to see again even more of his goodness in the land of land of the living. That's a little tongue twister. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's pretty direct scripture. Tava for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and tava for the Lord. In other words, whatever you need to do, let's think about this. It's about binding together. It's about twisting together. What do you need to do in your heart, in your life, to twist things in such a way, to think about binding yourself in such a way to maybe the word of God, the truths of God, the promises of God, so that you can wait for the Lord? so that you can remain in him and not just worry outside of the situation. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I love this scripture. This is, I'm going to do it in the message, but this is one of my favorite scriptures. I'm sure you guys have heard this before, but those who wait upon God or wait upon the Lord get fresh strength. I love that. So in this waiting, in this process of binding and knitting our hearts and doing whatever we need to do to connect in such a way that we're waiting for God, notice it in the message it says, wait upon God. Get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. I love that. Anyone who knows eagles, that they're able to literally go in with, into flight with just a couple of flaps, and they catch these currents that literally they lift them up into the high atmosphere, you know, way, way up almost above where we're in the same area where planes are flying, because those currents lift them up. I love that. We spread our wings and soar like eagles. Then they run and they don't get tired. That would be nice. All the marathon runners said, amen. And they walk and don't lag behind. So waiting upon God has its rewards. I want to turn our attention now to one of the things that I believe hinders us from even getting in the place where we are waiting on God, where we're giving God our petitions, our prayers. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. So this is a confidence that we should all have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So do you think maybe Daniel had this truth in his heart? That when he asked of God, when he communicated to God, when he made requests of God, he expected to hear the answer. I bet that 21 days he was wondering, what's going on, man? Usually God's just right on the spot. What is happening here? How much longer am I going to have to not eat meat? I don't know if that was his thought, but I'm sure he was human. He was probably thinking, where's God? But he hears us. It says in Revelations that our prayers are stored up in heaven, like in these vases, in these vials, in these storage containers. The prayer of the saints. I think I'll wait till the end. Hebrews 12:1b-3. And let us run with perseverance the race that was marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think that's part of the problem why we stop waiting. We grow weary. We lose heart. We get our focus off of God and on the circumstances, the situations, the struggles, the setbacks. I mean, you name it, you know, the attacks of the enemy, the lies of someone else. You know, you can have a laundry list, you know, the sicknesses, the diseases, whatever it may be, fill in the blank. And we start to grow weary and we lose heart. And when we grow weary and lose heart, guess what we stop doing? Waiting patiently and expectantly. And we let life kind of collapse over us and weight us down. And the heaviness of the situation starts basically choking our faith. Galatians, Paul says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So the last few weeks taught on the the different aspects of the difference of the flesh and the spirit. And this is another word that's encouraging us that if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap the flesh. If we sow to the spirit, we'll reap the things of the spirit and everlasting life. But then he goes on to say, and let us not, notice Paul's including himself, let us, not just you, church, let us, all of us, not grow weary while doing good. And how many know waiting patiently and expectantly for the Lord is doing good? For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I love that. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Hebrews chapter 5. This is again, I believe this is showing a picture of Jesus' frame of mind and heart while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Now get this. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. What a powerful verse. Even though Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was the Son of God, he still learned a level of obedience that he wouldn't have learned any other way than the things that he suffered. And so sometimes just the waiting is a form of our suffering. And is a form for us to learn even deeper, more committed obedience to God. With that said, I want to give a testimony. 1984, I was 24 years old, and a blessing came into my life, and his name was Aaron. And Aaron was a pretty strong, healthy boy, thought. He was a little slow in development. And around 9 months, he had a grand mal seizure. And he became, after that point, basically a paraplegic. And for those of you who don't know, I was married before again. I've been going on actually in 10 days, almost 10 days. We'll be married 32 years, praise God. But my first wife, she was distraught over this, as I was. And, you know, we started to do everything that you do for someone that really can't take care of themselves. And so we went through all the medical stuff that you can do and all the equipment that you needed. And it was a long, hard process. So what ended up happening is I'm a man full of faith back then. You know, I'm watching, you know, the faith preachers on TV and I read in my word, Jesus, you know, healed the paralytic, you know, he raised the dead. So my Lord could do anything. I knew it, you know, and so started praying and believing and just, you know, knew that, you know, God was going to raise him up. Just knew it. Read scriptures, Psalm 112. Remember the first time that revelation dropped in my heart that the man of God, his children would be mighty on the earth. And so I thought, oh, my children mighty on the earth, you know. That was my perspective of how Aaron was going to be. So we used to have a prayer meeting on Monday nights for him. So you know how you like have Bible studies? For probably 5 years, we had a prayer meeting that was for Aaron. We had healers from all over the world that would come. They'd hear about it. Oh, there's a prayer meeting we'll go. And I mean, these are people that, you know, laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And so they would come and lay hands on him. And I mean, you know, this was a time of waiting, expectantly ready for God to move. He kept getting older, you know, we'd take him to special revival meetings, you know, took him to Benny Hinn one time over in Seattle. I mean, you know, we were seeking the answer of the Lord. We were waiting patiently and expectantly. Well, not so patiently sometimes. After a while, you start to lose heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So, he came to a place, after Gay and I were married. My first wife abandoned me. I think it was just way too much for her to try to deal with all of this. Not seeing any answers to any of this, still having to deal with, and I was sick at the time physically, so a lot of things going on. That being said, after a while, my faith started to wane. The waiting started, tearing at my heart. And I got to the place where I believed that God could heal him, but maybe it wasn't the time or whatever. And so I had to start, settling for. It wasn't ever, mad at God, wasn't ever saying it can't happen. But it's like I wasn't like the first to take him up at a prayer meeting for healing anymore, If someone called him up or something like that, that'd be a different story. And I say all that to say this, because I think it's the key, for me, at least it is that he ended up passing away. And he was never healed in the land of the living here. But you know what? My hope isn't just anchored in this life. Because I know right now that he runs carefree, happy, joyful. Who knows what he's accomplishing there? Who knows how much he's even assisting the saints down here? Because we know there's a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering us on. And he's in that number. And so the waiting game for me is that someday I will see him face to face. And I will see him in the fullness of who God created him to be. And that is my expectancy and my waiting that I do now. Because I know I will see that. And that is really what it really boils down to. If we can't put our hope and all our trust in the truth of God, in the love of God, in the grace of God, in all areas of our life, then we become ones who, for lack of a better term, end up rejecting God. And I've seen it happen. When people have put all of the eggs in their God basket, and for whatever reason, they think that God isn't meeting up to their expectations, they'll toss out the eggs, or they'll go get another basket. So I'm here to tell you, do not lose heart. As that says, as Paul said there. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season, I will reap. I will see Aaron in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, in all of his true sonship as God created him to be. Now, I don't know why he got sick, and I don't know why God didn't answer 5 years of prayer meetings specifically for Aaron. But I do know those prayers were answered when he was glorified, when he passed this life, and it was a very unusual way that he passed. It was a going home for him. And the thing is I don't know what Aaron even experienced here on this earth. For all I know, he may have experienced glories greater than what I ever have known. You're saying, how could that be a paraplegic? Because God is good. And just because I couldn't see it from his perspective doesn't mean that Aaron wasn't a blessed individual here on this earth. So I want to encourage you that this game of life, which it can be sometimes, it seems like a game, doesn't it? I don't know if you ever played a game, but especially those kind that you lose a life, and like you're right on the edge. Sometimes it feels that way in life. But just know that God will renew our life in this game. And he's renewing it day by day from glory to glory. Is that good news? So when you're praying next time and you're looking at that list, or you're looking at that list that you have in your heart of someone that you've been praying for, Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker, and you haven't seen anything happen. Keep waiting expectantly and do not lose heart, because you will receive your reward eventually. Lord, we thank you that you give us the power, Lord, to wait. Holy Spirit, you are in us. Patience is in us. And we know, Lord, that you are good. And we will see the goodness of God in this land that we're living in now, in this life that we're living now. But we do need to wait on the Lord and not lose heart. So help us, Lord, to learn to wait. Help us learn to be patient. Help us learn to anchor, Lord, our waiting in your truths, in your promises, in the reality, Lord, of what it means to be a child of God, and the reality of, Lord, of what it means, Lord, to be a son and daughter, in the very reality, Lord, of what it means to be saved and to have your salvation in our lives, to have eternal life working in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saying yes in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Father's will. And thank you, Holy Spirit, now for living in each and every one of us and showing us how we can continue with expectancy, wait on God. Thank you, Lord.
See you.
next time you are feeling heavy and having a hard time waiting, maybe starting to grow weary, just lift your hands to heaven. Put your hands on your heart. And just realize that you can run right into His love, into His arms. And yes, through the grace of God, see His face, His loving face. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to finish the service. I was just wondering if we could get women of God around Gay and pray for her. The men of God can be there too, but I really want the women, and just believe the Lord for full recovery and healing. The Lord's been touching her, and she has been getting stronger. Praise God. One of you lead out. Thank you.